Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, the game here on this Monday. He's Big Joe Dubin, I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back there as well. So did Jeff Hem text you? I had to step out for a second, but you got the answer?
Yes, it okay. is. You are correct. They had right. they will stay in five-star hotels when they're down in a rehab assignment. By the way, Jordan's number was 12, Eric, not 45. His number was 12.
45 was when he came back after retiring, but 12 was when the jersey was stolen and he wore that.
The one game.
For one game.
Thank you, Chase.
Yes. So
damn it, Eric.
If you are answering what numbers he wore in the NBA, it was 23, 45, and 12.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that is correct, sir. Say hello now to John McClain joining us from Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're fantastic. I am sure that there's been baseball fever down there in Houston, and it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing to me, and I understand how excited Hispanics are about baseball. And seeing the crowds here with Mexico, watching last night, knowing what it's going to be like tonight with Venezuela. You know, they said last night was 70-30. Venezuela and the Italians probably be 90-10. And if it's the U.S. and Venezuela and Miami, it'll probably be 60-40, maybe 70-30. But the fans are fantastic. You know, Aaron Judge said it's better than the World Series. As my wife pointed out, those fans seem like they're having so much fun because of their country and their players. They're probably not screaming the things that players hear during MLB games, in which they want to insult you, your mama, and everything else. But I love watching it. I got caught up in it. I've watched every game, and I can't wait to see what happens tonight, and then of course Tuesday night.
So John, along the football lines, I want to ask you a couple of questions. And you texted me last night on this topic, and I definitely had planned to bring it up. Could you remind people who owned the Houston Oilers?
Well, first of all, let me back up. I went to lunch with some guys today and seen in a while. And we spent about 2 hours talking about the baseball classic plus the draft and everything else. But the first question they asked me was about what did I think about the Titans' new uniforms being Love You Blue. And before I asked them what they thought, I said, I'll say what I've said all along. I love that color. It brings back so many memories to me. And Houston was never going to have it, couldn't have it. So I would rather the Titans have it than nobody have it. And so two of them said they liked it. Another one said, well, I think those colors should be here. And so I went back to four things I tweeted last week because fans here, typical, were going ballistic, saying those colors belong to Houston. No, they belong to the Adams family. And I pointed out that from the top, before Bob McNair got the franchise, and afterward, he told me multiple times off the record he wanted the team to be called the Texans. He just always has liked the nickname Texans. Now, he had season tickets to the Oilers from 1960 until for decades, and he knew Bud Adams very well. Bud played a role in Houston getting the franchise to replace the Oilers. And so Bob told me he didn't want the nickname Oilers. He didn't want the Oilers uniforms and colors. He wanted the Texans to forge their own identity, create their own history, and the Oilers would always belong to the Adams family. And when Bud, before he decided to change the nickname from Oilers, which he did not want to do, but he knew that he had to in 99. So Paul Tagliabue gave him in writing a document that the NFL has on file and the Titans ought to have on file somewhere that nobody could ever use the name, the colors, or anything other than the Titans / Oilers family. And so I tweeted that, and the last time I looked it at over 300,000 people had looked at it. And And I've been telling people this for 30 years about that document, but it makes for good talk show fodder down here, in which it, fans get so stirred up and everything. But the fact is, truthfully, even if Amy Adams Strunk said, okay, I want Houston to have all that, we're going to change everything, I don't think she could do it. I don't know that that document said it could ever be changed by somebody in the family. And they know how Bud felt about the colors and the name. So it couldn't happen even if somebody wanted to happen. It is a moot point. And the last thing I tweeted, I hope someday, hopefully soon, that fans can get as excited and as controversial about something that happens on the field between these two teams instead of uniforms and colors.
I'm with you. And look, I mean, if both of these teams are good, that should be good enough. But it just, like, I see radio hosts out of Houston tweeting about it and saying it should be ours and all that stuff. And I'm like, it never was yours. It was Bud Adams. The Adams family owned it. Now, it was in your city. But, I mean, it would be like if the Predators moved to Hamilton, Ontario, which they came close to doing, and took the name and the colors and everything. That was theirs. It was, I mean, it's not the city. So it just, I mean, that's my thing. Ultimately, I like the look. I think we had Jeff Fisher on earlier. He was there. He likes it. He thinks it's cool to kind of blend the two together. And, you know, fans in Houston, I love you, but you gotta let it go.
Well, I don't think they ever will. Hopefully these teams will be like the Astros and the Rangers. They absolutely hate each other. They've played for the World Series. They've played big games to get in the playoffs. And the Texans and the Titans have just never done that. They've not both been. The only time I can remember them being good at the same time was the period in which Kerry Collins was the quarterback. And they had that great game up there that had multiple fights. And both teams had winning records. And I think the Texans won the game. And I thought, well, this is great. Boy, they're building up bad blood that should have been there from the get-go. These teams are going to be good. And they've just never been good at the same time where they played meaningful games.
John, you've been such an advocate of Bud Adams and what he brought to the game of professional football. The city of Houston and the people, you know, they say time heals old wounds. Did this apply to Bud and what happened with the Oilers? They've been gone 30 years now, but have people moved on?
People know, because I talk about it on talk shows, about why I've been on the contributors committee to try to help Bud Adams get in the Hall of Fame. And I talk about the period early in Bud's career, because there were later times in Bud's career that people remember. And I have to go back before he got the franchise, laying the groundwork. I co-founded the AFL with Lamar Hunt, even though Lamar gets all the credit because it was his idea, but they announced it in Bud's office here. And Lamar told people that if not for Bud, he wouldn't have been able to pull that off, but it hasn't helped Bud. And it helped him get one step closer, but it hasn't helped him get in the Hall of Fame. And the problem is there's hardly anybody that was alive back then and left on the Hall of Fame committee who would know some of these things. But I don't have anybody do like they used to. If I'd said this after the team moved, I'd been bombarded with people telling me I was nuts and I'd get run out of town. So I think as they kind of just shrug their shoulders, because it has been 30 years. And you think about it, if you were 10 years old when the team moved, you're about to turn 40. And so I don't think it's healed old wounds. Now people here are turning their ire toward Amy because of the color thing.
Right.
You know, we're not worried about Amy Adams because she beat it, because the Titans beat the Texans. It's all about the colors. And, but if you got to be riled up about something, something's better than nothing, because these two teams should have been each other's most bitter rival starting in 1997.
I totally agree on that. John, the Texans signed somebody that's kind of dear and personal to us here in Middle Tennessee. Reed Blankenship came over from the Eagles. I mean, a guy, just undrafted guy who's played his tail off. I like the signing. He brings grit. He's not the fastest guy. He's not going to intercept 15 passes, but he loves to hit and loves to play football, John. I like the signing of Reed Blankenship from MTSU to the Texans.
The Texans have made three free agent signings I like a lot. Right tackle Braden Smith, who played for the Colts for 8 years. And Reed Blankenship, right now, I thought they had the best secondary in NFL last year with cornerbacks Derek Stingley Jr., Kamari Laster, and Jalen Petrie as the slot corner, Kalen Bullock as the deep safety. But they had a rotation at the other safety position. And getting Reed Blankenship to fill that after only 4 years in the league, got a Super Bowl ring, I thought it was a tremendous signing. He fits exactly what they want. He's coming over to a defense that had the fewest yards allowed in the league, a defense that if they hadn't pulled all their starters in the last game, they would have allowed the fewest points. As it is, they allowed like 17-8 in the Seattle, like 17-3 or 4. So their defense is great. They didn't lose any player they didn't want to lose. Another one I like, a tackle slash in Logan Hall, Tampa Bay, 4 years, second-round pick, high second-round pick in 2022. And he's coming in here to be part of the rotation to replace Danico Autry, playing tackle in four-man front. So they've added significantly to the defense, even more so than the offense, which tells me the draft will be heavily tilted toward offense, specifically the offensive line.
We'll have more with John McClain from Houston coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Continuing with John McClain down in Houston. John, you know, when we talk about quarterbacks that really need a second, maybe at this point a fourth chance, Justin Fields' name was not one that I thought was going to come up, but now he's going to back up Patrick Mahomes. If ever there was a good opportunity for someone to kind of revitalize their career, would that not be one of the places to go?
If he can't make it there, he can't make it anywhere. Just getting to play with Andy Reid. Now, thing is, remember, Mahomes was hurt in, what, late December, mid-December? Yeah. So there's no guarantee he'll be ready first game. I've seen some reports saying he's expected to be. Hopefully he is. But Fields might be in a position where he has to do most of the playing in preseason. It is a great deal for him. He's bounced around the NFL like a ping pong ball. Another great situation is Kyler Murray going to play with Kevin O'Connell. It's amazing how many quarterbacks they've played there. To have had 2 years ago, number one pick, J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold, and Daniel Jones, and kept McCarthy and let the other two go. Now they've signed lucrative extensions. You know, Kevin O'Connell made a tremendous mistake. Now he's hoping to rectify it, because if Kyler Murray plays over McCarthy and he plays well, he's going to get a big contract. If he doesn't, if he beats out McCarthy and doesn't play well, they're still going to be in the market for another quarterback. So if I had to look at Fields, hopefully he'll never play. Murray, they're hoping that he won't have to play because McCarthy will be really good, but the odds are he will. So I think he's in a better situation. But boy, Fields is going to learn so much from Andy Reid.
Where do you think Kirk Cousins ends up?
There was talk of the Lakers, but let's be honest, the Raiders. If he goes to the Raiders and Mendoza turns out to be a quick learner, which he very well could be, he's going to be the starter. Cousins is going to be the backup. Cousins needs to go somewhere where he thinks he has a good chance to play. At this point, he's made like the second or third most money in NFL history. That shouldn't be an issue. It should be about opportunity. And there's still teams that need quarterbacks. I'd like to see him go somewhere where he's coached well and he can stick around and have a good situation. And Atlanta was not a good situation. He signs there, gives a lot of money, and then they draft Michael Penix. And that's one reason the coach and the GM are gone. So, yeah, Cousins made records amount of money, but he wants to play. And he played last year. He was inconsistent, but when he was good, he was really good.
John, it came out, I guess, Teron Davenport reporting that Calvin Ridley's going to come back to the Titans, took a pay cut and everything. I think it's a bad idea. I think the guy, they need to move on from him. How does this help the Titans if Ridley does come back, John?
Well, I'm guessing, Joe, they need receivers. And, yes, he was a bust, not as big a bust as Snead was. And you never know. If they say they draft a receiver or two or sign another one, I think it's just wanting a veteran with a young quarterback. And if they didn't think behind the scenes he was doing the things that they want, I think Mike McGonsey would have told Robert Sala. Robert Sala's telling him and Brian Daboll, look, we don't care what you did in the past. We only care what you do now. It's a great lease on life for him because if he comes back and helps, that'll look good on his resume for next year.
John, when the Oilers got rid of the run and shoot in 93, 94 right there and changed to a typical offense, a different offense, I mean, that's a massive change. Like, that's like the Titans in free agency signed all these players. That's a new team they'll put out there and everything. What was that like, the switch of trying to rebuild a team after you did the run and shoot for so many years and it's gone and now Jeff Fisher's there, Floyd Reese is there, and you go back to a typical offense? What was all like covering that and the fact that team had to rebuild basically from ground zero?
And your new head coach was a defensive coordinator who liked to run the ball a lot, so they had to rebuild in Jeff Fisher's image. And of course that started with Steve McNair and then with Eddie George, and those turned out to be two great picks. With the run and shoot, there was no tight end and there was no fullback. The five offensive linemen, they would drop into pass protection, and most of the running game worked because they were running draw plays because the defense was not ready for draw plays. And the slot receivers were really small and quick. The outside guys were normal size like Haywood Jeffries and Curtis Duncan. But when you went to the run and shoot, it was a big transition. Today it wouldn't be because teams use multiple receivers so much. But back then, they did not. And I think Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher navigated those waters as well as anybody could. And they ended up, they were terrible in 94 and 95, though. Jeff turned them around quick. And, you know, they became the 500 team. And based on everything they went through back then, those were amazing accomplishments.
John McClain is with us here on the program. So with, you know, kind of building on that, I mean, does everybody expect a turnaround to be what the Patriots did last year, or is a, you know, 6-7 win team somewhere in there considered a step in the right direction of a turnaround?
Well, first of all, anybody that's expecting that kind of turnaround, like if it's the Titans, the Raiders, the Cardinals, they're dreaming.
Right.
And one of the things they had in New England, besides he had a great coach in Mike Vrabel, they spent their money wisely, but they also had a great young quarterback. Now, if Cam Ward turns into a great young quarterback, that will elevate their chances to be good quicker, just like if Mendoza is. I'm not sure what in the world Arizona is doing right now. And it would certainly help if the Titans draft Jeremiah Love to give them a good 1-2 punch like the Oilers / Titans had with Steve McNair and Eddie George. I mean, that is a great blueprint for Mike McGonsey and Robert Sala and Brian Daboll to see that kind of balance. And I can't imagine they're going to pass him up unless somebody trades up to get him. But can they make that kind of change? Sure, they could. A lot of it's about the schedule. Patriots played the easiest schedule in 25 years. Now they're going to play the toughest, the first-place schedule. So if you're betting on a team that's going to win fewer games, I'd bet on the Patriots. And if you're betting on a team that was worse to first, I'd bet on the Lions. And I think if the Titans double their win total, everybody there should be so excited about the direction they're headed.
John, your thoughts real quick on Kevin Byard going from the Bears to reunite with Mike Vrabel in New England?
Why did the Titans get rid of him?
Salary cap or making too much money or some nonsense.
He was cooked.
You can keep anybody you want to keep.
Right.
If you really want to keep them. And the way he's still playing, that was a huge mistake. And I think the guy's is one. He might be the most underrated safety in the NFL.
Agreed.
Yep, 100%. John, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
John McClain joining us on the program as he does every Monday at 2. We'll come back with more here on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.